Hey, sister girls, it's Cherie, also known as the Sister Girl Next Door, and I'm back with another podcast episode. Today, we are celebrating Black Indie Authors Day, and to celebrate, I got the chance to speak with Black contemporary romance author Chelsea Maria. With only 3 years in the publishing game, Chelsea has published over a dozen novels. I got a chance to talk to her about her road to hit and publish, what gave her the courage to go indie after being signed to a publisher, and what advice could she give to aspiring and new authors. Be sure to listen to this podcast in full because her journey was so inspirational and she dropped so much knowledge. Make sure you check out our website, www.thesistergirlnextdoor.com. On Instagram, it's Sister Girls Book Club. On Facebook, it's the same thing, Sister Girls Book Club. And on Twitter, it's at Sister Girls BC. And so hit us up in the comment section and please listen to this interview in full. It's really, really good. And like I said, you're going to leave inspired and you're going to leave motivated. Enjoy. Hey, Chelsea Maria, I'm so happy that you are here today to speak with me. As you know, we are still celebrating Black Indie Authors Day and Behind the Pen virtually. And so I really wanted to get you on a podcast. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Enjoying this whole quarantine still in the rain in Florida, but I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
You said you were enjoying it. Now, you might be one of the few people I know that has not been losing their entire mind when it comes to this quarantine.
In the beginning, I did lose my mind. I'm not going to lie. Right now, I'm learning different ways to entertain myself, to cope, to keep my mind busy. So that's why I said I'm enjoying it now, because before I felt like I was on the verge of literally like, oh my gosh, that's
what I'm going to do. So question, does something like this, like, does it move your creativity? Because I know I've spoken to several different authors where it was like, some people was like, this was like the best, not the best thing that could have happened to them, obviously, because the circumstances are horrible, but to make them sit still. And so now that they actually have their creative juices flowing even more now. And some people have been on the opposite side. Some authors have said it has completely frozen their ability to kind of like be creative because they can't go in certain places or see certain things that would inspire them to write. So what has been, how is your creative juices been flowing during quarantine?
Yeah, I'm with the latter group. Like, it has completely been sometimes like a standstill or very frustrating. Like when everybody was saying, you know, oh, this is the time, you know, to you know, be creative, to get your, you know, your businesses started. And I'm just sitting there in tears. Like, how do you cope with this? You know, I was bigging up everybody who did it, but for me, it was a struggle, especially in the beginning. Like, that's, I saw my therapist more in that time than I did any other time. Mm-hmm. And that was around what, March, April, when everything was really shutting down. And I didn't know what to, I won't say I didn't know what to do. It was just the anxiety of it all put me in a like a fearful place a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then creatively, some days I could create, some days I just couldn't. I didn't even want to look at my computer or my phone. It was just like, I just can't. Like, it just wasn't happening for me. And I don't know if it wasn't because I wasn't around people, but it was just the whole pandemic itself. It just had a negative effect on me, like in the beginning, as far as like my mental wise. And it wasn't more so like for the creativeness, because I was around my family still. And that's usually where I get a lot of my inspiration from their stories. So, you know, it was there. It was just a matter of like, my brain was like, girl, it's a lot going on right now. Can we just not do this? Yeah. So I stopped fighting it, because when I fought it, it made me even more depressed.
I'm like, think, oh, that was God, the same for me. I felt like when I tried to come up with a whole bunch of game plans, because that was my thing. If I just get a game plan going, then I can,
yes,
as like, you know, like everybody else seems to be doing on like Twitter and Facebook. But don't let LLC Twitter and LLC motivational speaker Twitter fool.
Oh my God.
Like, they were just like, if you don't come out with this pandemic with a house built, a book wrote, that painting painted, you like, wait, hold, yes, on. I'm trying to get out of bed and not be like anxious. Cause every morning I will watch the news, and then I'm in New York City. So I'm like, people, like the numbers were just rising. And I'm like, so I'm supposed to build a house, write a book, go back to school, get my graduate degree, all of it by the time the pandemic is over. So I totally feel you. So if people
don't know you, introduce yourself a little bit. Tell us about you and how you got into writing, and what was the first thing that made you say, you know what, I should take my story seriously or make a book out of it? Why didn't you make like a short story, or, you know, just say, I'm going to keep it in my journal and that's it? What made you give it to the public?
Okay, here we go. For everybody who don't know, my name is Chelsea Maria and I write contemporary romance. I've been writing for going on almost 3 years now. It'd be 3 years in January. And so basically, long story short, I had dropped out of college. This was probably like about 5 years ago. I had dropped out of college. Actually, no, it was longer than that, but I had dropped out of college. And life was just giving me a bunch of bad lemons. And I was like, okay. I came back home and I had wanted, you know, something different. I was like, okay, what's my purpose in life? Because school wasn't it. And it was just, I was like, okay, I don't want to be in the classroom no more. I'm tired of school. I had good jobs by the grace of God, because a lot of these jobs, you have to be college educated, but God saw favor in me. He gave it. And so I had the good jobs, but it was just, it wasn't anything to make me feel satisfied. So I was praying, asking God, what's my purpose? I had a lot of baggage from my little stint in college, just the things that I endured being an adult, growing into adulthood, relationships, friendships, just all of that. And I didn't know where to turn to put all that, you know, those feelings and stuff. So I was just praying, like I'm a big heavy on prayer. And I was just praying like, okay, God, what's my purpose? Like, I need a purpose in life. And I was going through depression and all this other kind of stuff. And through prayer and just like writing down, which to me, that's why I hear God clearly through more than anything. And he was like, I need you to write, you know, your testimony in the form of a love story. Now, the funny thing is about that is I've never been in love. I've had...
And you write romance. You write so much romance. So you said, I've never been in love, girl. So all of that is just...
And I was like, okay, that ain't gonna work. Like, maybe I heard God wrong. Cause you know, I was like, nah, this ain't it. Cause I've never been in love. So how am I gonna write this if I've never been in love? But before that, like, I would just, you know, write stories in composition notebooks, you know, just stuff that would just come to my mind. So I've always loved to write, but never to the point where I wanted it published. It was just, oh, this is an idea I came up in my head. Let me just write it. It was just something fun to just give me something to do. So when I had that conversation with God, I was like, hey, okay, I'm hearing you wrong. I need to grow my faith a little bit. So I was like, nah, because that ain't it. And, you know, life continued to happen. And then it always came to being the same thing, like writing my testimony in the form of a love story. And I was just like, yo, this is not it. Like, why are you doing this to me? Because I have not been in love. Like, I can tell somebody about my entanglements, but I've never... But I've never been in love. So one day I was on Facebook and I saw Belove open up submissions for her publication company. And this was in 2017, around like September, October-ish. And this was the same year I had found this gold mine of Black romance authors. Because before, when I was looking, I had a Nook before I had Kindle. So there weren't a lot at all of Black.
You was in the desert with your Nook.
Yeah. So, you know, all the stories that I wanted to read, it was like, not of me, not a representation of me, nothing that I've been through in life. Don't even, you know, nothing at all. So I was like, okay. And then something told me about Amazon. I was like, oh, they have a Kindle. So I, you know, became that. And I found, like I said, this gold mine of authors. It just opened up my eyes to just so much more. I was like, oh my gosh, like these people exist for real, you know, beyond, you know, the Zane and the Terry McMillans. It went beyond that. And I was just so in awe. So when she opened up her submissions, I was like, you know what? Okay, God, you keep telling me I need to do this. So let me see. I submitted a story and she signed me.
Wow.
I was shocked. I was like, okay. You know, I still... was like, okay, we're going to see how this goes. Because again, how am I going to write romance if I've never really been in love like that? So I had penned my first story and I wrote it in 2 weeks. Now, let me tell you the struggle behind this story. So, it was my first book, For You, I Will.
You wrote the story in 2 weeks? Let me run
that. I wrote this story in 2 weeks. I don't know how I did it, because it was over 45,000 words.
Wow.
It wasn't nothing but the grace of God. Let me tell you about this story. So, I was so intrigued about this story, because I got the inspiration from watching The Good Doctor, because he was autistic. Mm-hmm. But he, you know, he was a doctor. And I was like, okay, what if somebody's autistic, but they're trying to find love? Mm-hmm. So I started doing all this research, to the point I was doing this research on my job. I had notes galore. I went to the bathroom one day. Somebody found my notes, turned it into my supervisor. Girl, they suspended me for 3 days because I was using company time.
Girl, you was living on the edge.
Yeah, but I was like over some notes. But anyway,
that's crazy notes. I'm like, I could see if you were like at your desk writing like a book. You got caught.
Right. No, it was notes. So I got suspended. I was like, okay, Lord, if you get me suspended for work over doing this, something got to shake. So anyway, the story came out and it was my first ever release. And of course, I decided to just go against the grain and do a girl who's autistic. Never read about a girl who's autistic. I was like, okay, we're going to put this out and see what happens. People loved it. Bam, here we are 2.5 years later. And my writing has definitely evolved over the years. And each book that I do put out, that testimony part that God wanted me to put in there, it is in mm-hmm. all my books.
That's such an inspiring story. So you said that you started with yourself with a love story and then like to turn your story into a love story. So for all the books, after the first book, do you see yourself in your books? Or is it just like that was just the first project and now you kind of just
drove. It's in all my books. Either I put myself in the women or I put myself in the men or their friends, you know, the supporting characters. But in every one of my books, there is a huge piece of me. I think one of the main books that you get to see a really glimpse of me, because one of my family members, when they read it, it was like, I knew this was you. It was Why Don't We Fall in Love? And I had put the story in there about me and my dad, our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably like the biggest one where I really went full throttle with, okay, that glimpse y'all want to see in my life, there we go. Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's so interesting, because it's like, because it's love stories, you always think that, you know, people say they get inspiration from like all sorts of places, traveling, reading other books, going here, going there. And you're saying like, I just use my own life. And each book, yeah. Not just one, but each book. So I think that's really interesting. And I never really thought about it like that. I think that's really cool too, because it's like, no matter what, you'll be in your own work, even while you're writing it. It's still you.
It's like, which is crazy.
It is crazy when you say, when I think about it, I'm like, girl, I don't know. But I've read your books and I would have never guessed that that was how you wrote each book. So you said you feel like you've grown as a writer. What has been the book that you wrote where you're just like, that's it, that's the one, it's about to get lit? Like, you know, that's the one that grew you significantly as an author.
I would definitely say the series that I just completed, it is about these three brothers, the Coleman brothers. And I started the series last year because my last book that I put out for 2019 was in July. And after that, I went into like this funk, this depression. I'm just like, okay, writing was not anything I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. Or the things that I had came up with weren't anything that I felt was worth writing. So again, me in prayer, me and God sat down. I was like, okay, I need something that I need to feel like, okay, I'm really delivering a project that is worth buying. Not saying that none of my other projects weren't, but I needed to. I just feel like I was writing like the same thing. Okay, friends to lovers, or, you know, the girl meets guy. Like, I wanted something that was going to challenge me creatively, challenge my spiritual, challenge my mental. Like, I wanted an overall project that was just going to take me through the roof. And so I've had the different ideas for how I want this story to go. And when I started it, as soon as I started, I was like, okay, this is going to be that game changer. Because when I tell you the amount of headspace I had to go through, mm-hmm. the prayer, I'm anointing my hands, like literally with some doggone water, trying to get my mind right. I did a lot of research and a lot of, and I saw the way that it pulled me out spiritually, a lot of the ways that it allowed me to be creative. Like I had to really think outside the box mm-hmm. with this series. I challenged myself to the point where, you know, like, okay, I'm always the type of person, like, okay, if I feel an emotion while I'm writing, I know it's good. Mm-hmm. I'm crying writing. If I'm crying writing, I know it's good. So
word made you cry. Now we gotta
get it. So, you know, I would say from start to finish, it took me about 9 months to write the whole entire series, 3 books, 3 brothers. And it has been, I have never written anything like that in my life. I'm still trying to figure out how I'm gonna top it. So yeah, like I have, God has really taken me to a place of creativity that surpassed my own understanding, because people ask me, girl, how did you come up with this character? I don't know.
That is so dope. And I think, so yeah. When that happens to you, does it encourage you to keep writing, or is it like, well, dang, now how am I going to top this? Or does it push you forward? Because I guess the thing I'm thinking is, there's always that, like when you see an author, they might have come out with a few books or maybe just one or two, but then it'll be that one book or that one series that kind of like, boom, and now everybody's talking about them. Everybody's talking about that book or that series. Is that necessarily like, I'm not saying it's not a bad thing, but does it put you in a space where it's just like, well, dang, how do I go to the next? Does it apply too much pressure, or do you just take it and just be like, well, that was that project, and I'm gonna just keep moving on?
Okay, well, for the series itself, like writing book one, when I saw the reaction, I was like, okay, I started to stress how I'm gonna do book two, mm-hmm. but then I had to remember, okay, there are 3 different people. So what I did for one, it's not going to be the same for two. But then when I wrote 2, I'm like, okay, well, dog, how am I going to write 3? So it was a lot of pressure, you know, to be better than I was the first time. I was like, okay, mm-hmm. how am I going to top this? But I just kept having to remind myself, there are 3 different people. It's a whole different ballgame. You do another book, they're going to see your creativity in a new way with a new brother. So just think about that. Now that I finished it, I'm in this space where it's like, I'm afraid. I won't say I'm afraid. I'm just real hesitant on what I'm writing right now mm-hmm. to, you know, to build that same hype, I guess, you know, because mm-hmm. it's like people are loving it. So I'm like, okay, well, what can I do next to have that same energy or make sure that they're, you know, they're still liking. It's like, well, mm-hmm. dang, she went from this to that. Yeah. So I'm going through that phase right now.
I always wondered that, but I don't think I've ever asked Arthur that. How do you like come down off of it, but come down in a way that you're like not putting too much pressure, like, okay, girl, this did really, really good, but don't let it like deter you from either writing something in that same trope line, because maybe that wasn't what you were going to write next, but because it did so well, it's like, well, I'm gonna keep this train going and like, you know, keep, you know, giving people what they want or just doing what was on your heart. So especially when you come off something that's been like really that does well, how do you not get, you know, shifted, like shift from what you were set out to do from your own writing?
Yeah. And that's what I'm figuring out right now, because, you know, I'm trying to keep reminding myself, okay, we're done with this project. Like mm-hmm. that was that project. Now we need to move on to something totally different. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so that's where I am in my headspace right now. Mm-hmm. And then just trying to unclog, because the last series I wrote, the last book, mm-hmm. it was super dark, like to the point I had to put myself in a depressive state just to write. So I'm trying to get rid of all that, trying to think of stuff to write, trying to figure out which lane I don't even want to go in. Mm-hmm. So I'm just trying to declutter my mind right now and just really like, okay, start fresh. Like, even if I do the same trope, but it's going to be a whole different type of storyline.
I know you don't need my advice, because I'm not certified to give.
You are certified.
Sister girl advice. But I think from listening to what you said, I feel like a lot of creatives go through that, whether you're an author, whether you're a regular writer. But I would just say go with what your heart is, and people will love it because it's your writing. Like, no matter what, like the same way the readers love that last series, they're going to love whatever you put up because it's your heart. And like you said, you put a piece of yourself in every book. So that means it's real. Like, you already certified out here, because it's already coming from a place of genuine, like, love and like it's just you. So you know, so yeah. I don't harp on that. I know it's probably hard because Rita starts saying, "When's the next book, sis? When's the next this?" And while
I just gave out this book a week ago.
Yeah, and I'd be like, I think while we think we're like when we ask you as a reader, like, "What is the next book?" I'm like, y'all got to realize if 100 people are flooding you at the same time, that doesn't might necessarily come off as good. It might pressure you too much. And you'd be like, girl, it's coming. So I would just say, just write for your heart and don't allow like good or bad comments to get too flooded in your head. So you write from where you've always started, from yourself and from your love, and just putting it out forward. But that's just my two cents.
I appreciate that. You preached a word. Y'all hear that? She preached a word.
But so yeah, so now, because I feel like you're a new author, but I feel like you've come out with a lot of projects, a lot of books. So how did you keep up and maintain that momentum? Because you're 3 years in, but if you look at your catalog, it might suggest otherwise, right? So how did you keep up that momentum of just like pumping out books and staying fast and coming up with new ways to market? Because I visited your Instagram and I've seen how you interact. And I'm just like, you're always coming up with something different, something new. You have spoken word, you have a video. So I'm invested. So I'm seeing, I'm just like, how did you manage to keep up that without taking a break or like, you know, saying, girl, I'm tired. I need a moment.
Ooh, okay. For the consistent part, when I first signed, like one of the main requirements, you know, we had to be very consistent. We had to release mm-hmm. almost a book like every month. Mm-hmm. Now in the 3 years, going on 3 years that I've been writing, if you look at the timeline, I'm not where I should have been. Mm-hmm. But that's just because of how my mind works, you know, and I had to like explain that to B, and she gave me the free rein to like, okay, I don't want to force you, but whenever it comes to you, because, you know, you had these authors who pump out, and I'm not one of those. And in the beginning, it was very frustrating because I'm like, why can't I write books like this every 30 days and pump out a book to a month? But the way my creative mind works and the way how everything just flows to me, it takes time. And I've learned to not rush that part of like when it comes to me, because when it comes, and I pump out a book that people do love. Yeah. So when it comes to, you know, as far as like being consistent, I try to be very consistent. Well, you're going to, of course, you know, get a book from me probably like every other month. Mm-hmm. It may not be every month, but you're going to get a book from me probably every other month or every 3 months, because one, I got to get out of mind space. I was just in to write that book. I have to write the book and the whole nine. So as far as being consistent now, it's just a matter of my readers. They kind of know, okay, she may not give us a book every month. She going to give us one like every two, every month. So I've kind of, you know, built that platform right there. Now, as far as like the creativity and everything is being active, that just comes with the inspiration I see, you know, especially like, you know, the spoken word and then the videos, because I'm a very visual person. So I love to see like trailers, like
in the same way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like I love to see trailers, you know, I love to see different types of promotion going on, you know, different interaction, you know, using different pictures to show you guys like what I see as far as like the love that is going on or whatever this scenario may be in the books. You know, to kind of give them a visual, like, oh, okay, I like this, you know, or just different things. So I do it one because I like to see it myself, and then another just to keep people interested, you know, in the different elements that are in my books, the different layers of love and the characters. And I just love the whole the whole Black romance, you know, entirety. Like I follow like these different Black love pages and I'm like, ooh. This is pretty. Like, and I post it, and I'm like, okay, yeah, here we go. You know, now I'm building traffic again, and it's like, okay, people love to see, you know, those portrayals. Like, oh my gosh, this is like relationship goals and all this other kind of stuff. So I do it more so, of course, to stay active, because half of the time, if it's just me trying to post, it ain't gonna. I feel like I'm boring, so I have to use pictures mm-hmm. and quotes from songs or just different things, you know, to kind of build the hype.
Yeah, and that makes sense, because that's marketing. No matter what, it's still marketing, making sure you're active, your analytics stay steady. So you're doing great.
Thank you.
You said you wrote your first book was about a woman who had autism. So mm-hmm. has there ever been like a book or a character specifically that just took a lot out of you, and you were just like, well, damn, I didn't know this going into it, that it was about to be rough. But like, you know, now that it's over, I'm like, well, dang, that took a lot of space. So how do you get yourself out of that? And like you said, for one of your books, you had it, like you said, the last book in your series, it was dark. So how do you get yourself put into that? Because nobody wants to wake up and say, you know what? I'm about to go be depressed for about 3 hours. And then it's like, after that, I'm about to go eat lunch. So how do you manage your own emotions from fictional to like reality and like, you know, vice versa?
Okay. So it's funny you just say, because when you're talking, I'm thinking about it. I was like, you know what? I think the perfect time for me to write the last book was during this whole quarantine. Mm-hmm. So because I was home, there was no going outside, because I probably would have made excuses. Okay, I don't want to write this right now. I'm going to go out with my friends.
Mm-hmm.
But because Amel's character was super dark. He had a dark childhood. He had his upbringing into manhood. It was dark. Even as an adult, it was super dark, the things he dealt with. And I don't think I would have been able to pull it off if we were outside this quarantine. So I'll go ahead and say, you know, people say how we just said, you know, the LLCs of Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I wrote a dark book. There we go. because I had to sit, you know, I'm home. I'm sitting down. I'm reading over my notes constantly, make sure that I'm staying, you know, in the course of the book. And when I read these certain parts, I'm like, oh gosh, I got to go dark with this, you know, like. And I've been watching Criminal Minds the whole seasons, from season one all the way down to the last one. So that helped, which is sad. So, because I love the show.
I love the show too. When you said that, I watched that show. Girl, I be trying to figure out the case. I'm one of the people.
Listen, you know, so I had to surround myself with things like that, like Criminal Minds, watching these documentaries set in prison, you know, just things that are kind of not so Skittles and sunshine.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to literally like put myself in a depressive state, like, oh man, I feel sad right now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, just reading over the notes, and even reading over my notes, it was sad because I had wrote in there what happened, and I'm like, dang, this is really sad.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so putting yourself there is it's kind of like abuse. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, like you're physically telling yourself, like, you're depressed right now. Like, I need you to be depressed. I need you to feel this type of emotion so I can put, you know, so I can show it in my words. And I did that for a whole entire book. And coming out of it, when I finished it, I cried because I was so happy to write the end. Because I was like, I don't have to do this no more. Like, it was that. And if people think I'm joking, y'all can look at the reviews and they'll tell you it was super dark. Or just talk to anybody that has read it, because it showed, you know, mental illness and PTSD in a Black man growing up around our urban neighborhood, you know, having to grow up early to take care of his family, the things that they go through, you know, just saying it from himself. And a lot of people said, you know, I'm glad that you showed that. In my head, I'm like, but girl, do you know what I went through? And so when I finished it, I cried because I was like, I'm glad I don't have to go to that space anymore.
Yeah.
It was super depressing and just super dark. And just thinking about the fact that this may actually be somebody's real life story.
Yeah.
And I know a couple people because I use some of their life experiences in his story. So now afterwards, I've literally found comfort in cartoons, which is like the oddest thing. But it's super light. It's super happy.
It's really fun, colorful. It's not so dark.
Yes, it's not so dark. And people, my mom, she's like, are you really watching cartoons? I'm like, you just don't understand. Like, I need this right now. Like, like there were moments, like, I haven't even read a book yet. And I finished that book, in June?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, June, May-ish.
So what happens when you do all of this, put yourself through all of this torture, come out with your book, and then boom, you get a review that's not so kind. How do you internalize it? Do you take it as a critique? Mm. You take it as, you know, they just didn't get it. This wasn't for them. Or do you just be like, you know what? Let me log off before I say so.
Oh, okay. So it has been a week. Now, this is usually what I do. period. I give myself, okay, you're going to read reviews for the first week, take notes if you need to, you know. How can I say, like, you know, take notes from the criticism that, you know, that can help you grow. Not the criticism that's people just really out here just being rude.
Mm-hmm.
So luckily so far I haven't had that yet, but I feel like it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gave myself a week to look at the reviews, to, you know, thank everybody. Now I'm not looking no more.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that rush of people who may not like the book or have different views, it's about to come, and I cannot go to that headspace again, because what I had to go through to write this book,
mm-hmm.
your criticism, and I understand people feel the way how they feel, you know, you may not like it. Okay, that's fine. I just don't want to read it, because I knew what I had to do to get there, to finish it. And as you just said, like, I just don't want to take away from my happy moment right now, mm-hmm. even though I'm still kind of dark, but you're not about to ruin my moment for me.
I know that's right. So, so with that being said, has there ever been a time that you've written a book and you're about to go to publish, but then you were just like, you weren't sure about it, or it was maybe like a storyline that you struggled through, and then you were like, I don't know. And then it actually released. Did you regret it? Did the reviews say otherwise? Did they, like, you know, go with what you were thinking? And if that happened, good or bad, how did you move from that or go to the next project?
Well, I have two. The first one was in 2018. That was my first time writing a married couple.
Mm-hmm.
And then writing a married couple who had fertility issues.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not married. I've never had fertility issues. Well, I don't even have kids. So, and I was very nervous as far as, okay, again, here goes that doubt of a girl, you've never been in love, but here you are talking about marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And you never had kids, but you're talking about, you know, I didn't want to offend nobody with the whole miscarriage situation.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, she was deaf, and I didn't want to offend nobody who was deaf. Mm-hmm. And a married couple, for somebody like, girl, that don't happen in marriages, but I'm like, but it's a fiction story. Mm-hmm. You know, so it was so many thoughts running through my mind, and I was like, you know what? I'm confident in it. I am scared. I'm just going to release the scare, and we're going to let the powers that be handle whatever happened.
Yeah.
And I released it. People loved it. So I was like, okay. Then we jump to now, where last week when I released the book, I was very scared, because again, there weren't a lot of happy moments in the book. There were, but the darkness overshadowed a lot of those happy moments. So I was like, ugh. We're already in the pandemic. I'm giving you this sad book. Granted, nobody dies. You just see somebody's, you know, elevation of life. And it's not a happy one. I'm like, okay, some people may not gravitate towards it, but I was scared to release it because of that. And when I did, it did well. Like, so I was like, okay, you know, you just got to be scared to release it. That's just it.
Yeah. And so you said this, and I wanted to ask you this too earlier, but perfect time to segue into it. Do you release books based on, like, how people will receive it? Meaning, like, you know, in Christmas time, I'm not going to release something that's dark. Or maybe, you know what I mean? So if it's like we're in a pandemic, did you want to write something lighter if you would have had started that before? Because, you know, it was in, like you said, early summer, we're now a little bit deeper into the pandemic. But right. Do you write according to how you think people will receive it based on, like, the mood of the world, I guess, or the mood of the nation?
No, I don't. I never actually really thought about that, to be honest. I just write whatever the story is. I write mm-hmm. that moment. That's just when I release. Because in my mind, somebody's going through something. Not everybody's having, you know, a happy Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, I know a lot of people who don't like to read the happily ever after Christmas stories. They like the ones with the struggles. And I'm like, okay, that's your preference.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really do that based off of, you know, what's going on. And, you know, especially, well, I didn't even think about that twice with the pandemic. Really, it was just like, okay, it's dark. Just, I hope y'all like it. But no, I haven't really thought about it like that. I just release whenever.
No, because I always see, like, sometimes people have, like, Juneteenth novels. They'll have, like, Christmas novels. And I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
Y'all are, like, really, you know, taking that time out to say, you know what, this is a happy time. And, of course, like, when I think, you know, when it's Christmas time or like the holidays period, I'll end up, of course, we start watching, like, I start watching my favorite movies this Christmas, The Preacher's Wife,
yes,
you know, all the Hallmark and Lifetime movies and the TV one, like, so it's centered, like, it puts me in a joyful space. So I'll, like, when I see authors come out with, you know, certain stories, I'm like, I wonder if they did this on purpose, knowing that people are more likely to want to read something very happily ever after in romance. So that's why I was just thinking. So what is it about the romance genre that keeps you writing? And do you ever see yourself writing in another genre?
I just love the elements of romance. Like, there are so many different tropes to romance that you can write about. You know, the, mm-hmm. you know, the friends to lovers, the enemies to lovers. Like, it all ends to lovers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no matter what it is, it can be girl on the other side of the world and he over here, but they're gonna come together in the name of love some way or mm-hmm. somehow. And I love to see that build up.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love, like, especially like Black love, you know. Mm-hmm. I think it's such a beautiful thing. And with me starting out on Nook and then entering the world of Kindle,
yeah, whole new world.
yes, it's a whole new world, and I really appreciate that. And another genre that I am thinking about, which Nicole Falls kind of hinted to me within the last couple of days, was maybe paranormal. I don't know. I'm still iffy about that one.
I think paranormal is not as like crazy as people might think. Because I'm like, I think a lot of times writers don't want to write about paranormal because they think Black people are scared of the devil, which we are. But at the same time, in our like American society, we get like Halloween and witches and stuff shoved down our throats like all the time.
Yes.
Because some of the most highest rated Twilight, Vampire Diaries, like everything is a vampire, a goon, or a goblin. Or we're trying to save the world some type of way. It's like that is like really like what we gravitate to when it comes to films a lot. So I'm like, it's not as like, because I remember I was talking to an author and she was like, I do not want to write anything with it like scary because Black people don't like the devil, like we're scared. I'm like, I never thought about it like that. But then I'm like, but at the same time, we watch a lot of it. Like growing up, one of my
we do
The Craft. Like I would watch that be like,
yes, right, yeah.
So I'm like, we watch those movies, but I could definitely see that. I think it would be cool, and it would be like a new way to stretch yourself as a writer because people would read it. Trust me. And Halloween comes every year,
right.
So as a young Black female entrepreneur, how have you been able to manage your time and stay focused while carving out your career? And what any advice would you give another young Black woman who's like aspiring to be an author? Because I always tell people who maybe don't consider it, is that if you're an independent author, you're an entrepreneur because you're doing all of the stuff yourself.
Yeah.
So it's like there's no big machine back there pumping out those Instagram photos and coming up with those cool ways to communicate with your readers and gain new readers. It's all you. So how do you manage that and be like, well, I gotta go get depressed and write this depressing story so y'all love it, and then promote it, and then give y'all teasers, and then make sure you sign up to the news list, and then this. So how do you do that? How do you balance?
Oh man, especially with me going indie this year. In the beginning, I was like, oh, you know, I'm going to be fine. I'm going to be good. Then when the next day finally happened, I'm like, I got to do all this stuff now, like the newsletter, everything. Like now that's on me. And what I can say for anybody first, you know, first starting out or anything, you just got to be confident in yourself. Like know what you want to do. Write down everything mm-hmm. that you want to see happen. For everything, like your social media, I had to, my Instagram, what do I want to happen with my Instagram? I want to grow my following. Okay. How I'm going to grow my following. Okay. Hashtags. And what else? So I'm always researching. I'm always being inspired. I right now in the beginning, I did have a problem with asking for help, you know, or asking, you know, for advice, especially from like, you know, the seasoned authors who have been in this game for a very long time. And, you know, sometimes you think, oh, you know, no, they're not going to answer my question. But a lot of the times, like, they're very nice. some of them are very nice, and they're very open, you know, to just ask, but again, to never stop learning. And then to just also have a lot of confidence in your brand. Understand this is your brand. You can do whatever you want to do with your brand. And I'm in this phase right now where I'm quote unquote rebranding, mm-hmm. and, you know, having more control over everything. And it's, I'm enjoying the process because I feel like I'm starting all over again. Mm-hmm. So I'm enjoying it because I'm seeing my baby grow, you know, like I'm seeing it grow. I'm watching it grow. And I take more pride in my investments. We know, whereas before, again, all those things were handled for me. Now it's like, okay, it's almost in a sense, like allow me to grow up, because, you know, before I was very passive. It was just like, oh, okay. Like, you know, just get to me whenever you can. Now it's like, okay, I'm on a time frame. Mm-hmm. I'm on a time frame. It's a whole level of different respect now. Cause it's like, okay, time is money. Mm-hmm. Time is money. I'm investing my money, so I need my money's worth. And again, it has allowed me to be very strong in, okay, and almost saying, like, if this is what you want, say what you want. And don't be afraid to say, okay, no, this is wrong. You know, and just speaking up for yourself. That was a very big part for me, too, because, again, I used to be just very so passive, like, oh, okay. Okay, fine. Like, if you're going to be late, that's fine. Not now. It's like, what you mean you're going to be late? Like, can mm-hmm. we, can you tell me beforehand, you know, especially when deadlines are involved and all this other kind of stuff. And just seeing how I am as a businesswoman with this, it's very inspiring for me to say, okay, you know, if I did want to go into business with something else, now I know how to do it, you know, or I know the steps to go ahead and do something else. So it does inspire me to want to do other things mm-hmm. outside of my writing, which I love, because again, a lot of those thoughts and creative ideas would not have come if I did not have to do everything on my own. But I'm always learning. That's a first and foremost for me. Like, I'm always like watching, paying attention to what's going around. Okay. The whole trailer thing, I just realized within the last couple months, people love trailers. Okay, let me enter the world of trailers, you know, and just, you know, doing different things. So one, to always be willing to learn. Two, just, again, be willing to learn and to be very confident about your brand, confident about your name that's on everything, confident about just writing your books, like whatever it is, just have confidence. Continue to just put out what you want to put out. And if you feel like the idea is crazy, that means it's good. So put it out.
So when you first got in, you went to Be Love Publications, and then now you're completely indie. What was that always the plan? Or did you just kind of feel like it was time to be completely independent and do things yourself? Or did you just, was it a thing of just like, well, that was cool, and now I just want to try it another way? Like, what made you go from saying, well, I'm going to be with a publishing company, and to now saying, well, I want to be 100% independent?
Well, I actually wanted to go independent in 2018, but I had got scared because I was like, well, I haven't released a book in like a couple months. People probably forgot about me. So I was like, no, let me just, you know, stay mm-hmm. and build my following. And then it wasn't until the end of last year, I was like, you know, I think it's time for me to kind of, you know, just step out on my own and see how it goes. Like, I had fun with BLP. It was a very good learning experience. Like, B was very knowledgeable. She taught me. She still does to this day. Like, if I have a question, she mm-hmm. helps me with whatever I need it. But I feel like it was time for me to step out on faith and just see how I do myself. And it has been a journey. But it has been a journey that I love, because just seeing that I put in the work for this, I have a different appreciation for it. Mm-hmm. Not saying I did it, but it's just a different feeling knowing that you were behind the entire thing, mm-hmm. like from start to finish. The level of respect I have for my craft is amazing. Yeah. So I'm very appreciative where I came from to now, but it was always in the works. It was just a matter of when mm-hmm. and when I wasn't going to be quote unquote scared to step out on faith and self-publish on my own, which I'm kind of sad that I waited this long, because it's like, oh my gosh, like, you know, now that I've done it, it's like, it's kind of easy in a sense. I mean, it's hard work, but that's the thing I love about it, because putting in the work and seeing the results is amazing. So, but yeah, so it has been in the work for a while. It was just a matter of when Chelsea was going to stop being scared cat and actually, you know, do it, which I'm glad I did it. You know, hey, timing is timing. It happens when it's supposed to.
Yeah. And I think it was a good ease. I felt like it was just really, I didn't know until I looked at it. I was like, well, I think she's completely independent. It wasn't like, you know, I hear all these bad breakups. It was just like, no,
right.
We had a good relationship, nothing bad to see, because I've spoken to B-Love and all her authors speak very highly of her, and you do too. So I was just like, I knew it was like a love move and not like a, you know, girl, I had to get out the chains.
No.
I already knew that in my mind, just because of how you guys both work and how she is. And like, she's always been inspiring a lot of authors, and she's very nice.
Yeah, it's very nice. So
that's one thing. Also, you have done you've been a part of a couple book signings. So I feel like authors always want to know, when is the right time to actually say yes to do an in-person signing? And so what has made you, as, because I wouldn't say you're a new author, but I would say you're newer than some authors. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm a long catalog, but I'm like, 3 years is still, you're still new. Like, it's still a lot of things that, you know, you're going through, like now being completely independent. So how do you say yes to an author signing? Like, what was the first one, and what made you say yes to it?
Ooh, the first one was Girl Have You Met, 2019. And
very new.
I have,
that's
yes. That was last year. When you think about it, it's like, wow, that was last year. But I had went to Girl Have You Met 2018, because I had just got signed in October of 17. And I wanted to go because I, my world was Nook up until that point. And I didn't even know that they had signings like that where you can, you know, go see your favorite authors. I'm like, oh my gosh. And I remember the lineup, and I was just amazed that everybody I had just found out about was going to be there. And I was like, okay, I had just got signed. And I was like, okay, you know, I want to see what it's about. Mm-hmm. So I went, and I remember it was in Dallas. And I was like, I felt like I was in Disney World, just wide-eyed and just in amaze. I was like, oh my gosh. And then when I had got the email a year later from, well, not even, it was like that summer, well, like late fall-ish, mm-hmm. when I got the invitation, was it late fall-ish? Yeah, late fall-ish, mm-hmm. when I got the invitation in 2018, and I was like, oh my gosh, they know me. And I was like, yes, I'll go. Like, it wasn't even like a second thought. It was just like, they know me, I'm going. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So to even receive that recognition, like, and that shows you that people be watching you. You don't think people watch, but they be watching you. And I was like, yes, you know, I'll definitely go. And so I went to, it was in Memphis, and I've never experienced anything like that in my life. You know, just, it was such a humbling experience, you know, just for people to want to buy your books and want to take pictures with you. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, little old me. Like,
yeah, because I always think, I'm like, a lot of times for authors, y'all are like behind a computer screen interacting with readers, like in groups on Facebook, it's all digital. So I'm like, what, when you meet that reader in person, how does it feel? And like, you know, does it make it more like real, like, oh my god, this is what I really do? Or is it like, I've been knew I did this, but now I get to actually see like how it really like inspire people, or like really see like the fruits of my labor, so to speak?
Yeah, listen, okay, so my moment, like my whole celebrity moment in the book world, it happened when I went to the first one I went to, which was in 2018. And that's the one that was in Dallas, when I just went to see what it was about. And I remember I was walking past Nicole Falte, but she was like, hey, Chelsea. I was like, she knows my name. I was like, okay. And I passed the CJ table. I was just walking, trying to find my seat. And it was like, hey, Chelsea. I was like, hey. I was like, oh my gosh, you people know my name. Because I had just started. And I'm like, wow. Like, I was only, two, three books out by then? Yeah, two, three books out. And then I remember I was standing in Love Belvin's line, good Lord. And she peeked around and she was like, hey, Chelsea, how you doing? I was like, my name. I was like, Love Belvin knows my name. Oh, man. So that was like my whole groupie moment. And but it was just amazing, you know, like, to see all these people who I recently just read about. And mm-hmm. now they're like, hey, I'm like, and they're nice.
And then, like, the next year, you're sitting elbow to elbow with those same exact...
Yes, like, I was
sitting that's, like, the testimony right there. You can be...
Alexandria House.
And like, then you could be, like, oh right, like, a minute. Because I'm, like, listening. So I'm like, yeah, you talk about you as hype. But I'm like, the next year, sis, your table was there.
Listen, and they had even said it. It was like, you know, like, they had asked the question, you know, about inspiring authors. They was like, you know, last year, Chelsea was there as a visitor, you know, supporting us, and then now she's up here, and I was like, y'all about to make me cry, too. Yeah, so it, especially last year, like, I had being there, again, from being there, you know, just to support, to being there as an author, you know, like you said, rubbing elbows with these women who I just saw and buying their books, so now we're all on the same platform. Man, like, it was just, yeah, like, I love that experience. Like, Memphis was, that was my first one, and I was just like, wow.
Shout out to Jack. Yeah. I love Alexandra and Christina, because I always call CCJ by her initials, but yeah, they dope. And I'm happy you had that experience. That's like, I'm sort of feel like, yes, girl, yes. And I feel like to show you, like, so, and I feel like that's like one of those testimonies where it's like, if you are an aspiring writer, aspiring author, or if you are a new author and you feel like, oh, nobody's seeing me yet, nobody, like, I'm out, I'm trying to pump it out, and nobody's like, I don't feel like I'm being seen or visible. You just never know. You got to keep grinding, because you never know, like, where you're being seen at. You never know who's talking about you. You never know who's sharing your stuff, because that was like swift, like, you know what I mean? It wasn't, I'm sure that's not everyone's story, and it might not be the story of the person listening, like, okay, if I just write this book, the next year I'm gonna be in it. That might not be your story, so don't put me on saying that, Cherie. You just said, no, what I'm saying is that a lot of times we often think that nobody's paying attention to us, or that we're being overlooked. And sometimes it's just like, it's preparing you, like that time you need to give you that peace and quiet to write your books, so that when you go from overlooked to overbooked, like basically like that.
Yeah, especially because what, this year I was booked up, and I had got invited to New York for Behind the Pen.
I'm like, damn, we got to get Chelsea. It wasn't one of those things where it was like, well, let's just invite her because we bored. No, it was like, well, we got to get Chelsea this year. We got, you know what I mean? So it was like a thing. It wasn't just, you know, because I feel like with every event planner, we try to plan what's going to, the authors that people want to see and the authors that we want to see. And then authors that are, you know, want to actually be a part of this event because it's a celebratory moment. So it's always like one of those things. It's like, we're really thinking about what author will want to come. Number one, what author is going to be cool. And what author I feel like is going to bring the good vibes. And I've heard nothing but great things from you. And we read your work. So it's just like 1 + 1 always equals 2. So, and I'm just like, the amount of books that you put out from your beginning till now, I wouldn't have said you've been only like writing for 3 years. I've definitely been like, oh, she's been at this for 5%.
Nah, I'm still a little caterpillar.
So, almost to the last question, but what is one misconception you think that people have about authors, especially romance authors?
Oh, wow. One of the main ones that I get is that I live the life that I write. Yeah, that I live the life that I write. That's another one that somebody recently asked me. That's one of the main ones that I get, is that I live the life that I write. And I'm like, girl.
And what's one thing that you wish you'd have known? Like, before I hit publish, before I started promoting, before I started trying to gather readers, what was like something like, damn, if I would have did this over, when it comes to business or writing, I would have had a better outcome now?
I would definitely say the whole asking for help thing. When I mentioned that, asking for help and to having a second pair of eyes to just make sure that all your T's are crossed, all of your I's are dotted, to make sure that everything is there, because what you may see right now, like your mind is so focused on, okay, the book, we have to get the book out, this is what I have, and you may be missing a very important step.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to reach out to a couple authors, like when I was putting out my book, and one of them was Monica Walters, about, like, you know, making sure, like, I set it up the right way, you know, before it hit Kindle, because I wanted to make sure it went in the right categories and everything. And just having that second, you know, that second person there to say, okay, did you do this?
Mm-hmm.
I might have forgot, you know. So sometimes, you know, we may be a little too prideful, mm-hmm. maybe a little too scared, but if you can find that person that you trust, you know, to kind of lead you, I would definitely say get you a second person to help you, because sometimes that pride gonna get you hurt, you know, yeah. gonna get your feelings hurt, you know, because what you could have avoided, they could have caught.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a matter of, you know, finding your tribe and finding that person that you can just, hey, can you help me? That's why people come to me, I'm always trying to be like, yeah, I can help you. What you need help with?
Mm-hmm.
Because I would want the same thing done to me. You know, I try to give off the same energy that I want to receive.
I think whatever you give out, it comes back no matter what.
Yes. Especially in this industry. It can be real cutthroat.
So what's next for you? What do you have upcoming next? Plug your book, that your series that you have now. And what should, like I said, I always ask this question to authors, so it's a great way to promote. What's a book or a series that readers should read if they've never read your work before?
Okay. Well, currently, I just finished a series. It's called The Kalman Brothers. It's three brothers. It starts with My Heart Is Your Secret, jumps to Chasing Empty Hearts, and then it ends with All I Ask of You. I would not suggest they all be read, you know, as standalones, but they can be. But to get a better understanding of the brothers, I would just start from the beginning. And then a book to get an introduction into my work, I always suggest two. And the first one is Why Don't We Fall in Love? That was A Friends to Lovers. That's when I really got a good grasp of how to write romance. So right there. And then the second one would be Our Type of Love. That's the married couple I had mentioned earlier when we were talking about, you know, just difficulties in writing. But that one right there is near and dear to my heart for many, many reasons. I really took a family member's story and wrote it. So those two are the first ones. I always suggest that if you want to start out with my work, to jump with those two. And then as far as my next project, I am hoping to have a September release. I'm crossing my fingers because I'm really trying to hope that I get out of whatever mental space I'm in by then. Hopefully by today, hopefully by tomorrow, so I can write. I do have this enemies to lovers that I really want to do. I've never done an enemies to lovers story. I do have it outlined and ready to go. It's just a matter of my brain saying, let's write. So that's kind of where I'm going right now. I do have at least three, maybe four more stories before the year is over with.
What?
It's on my mind. Yeah, listen. That's what I say I want to do, but, you know, I know how my brain works.
Intensively, because they'll hit your inbox and be like, sis, I heard you say
three or four. So, yeah. So, that's what I have right now coming in store. I honestly don't have nothing set in stone yet for September, because, again, I'm just trying to get out of the mental space. So, say a prayer for me. But,
I will. So this is the flash round, the question. You just answer as soon as whatever answer comes quickly to your head.
Okay.
So coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Series or standalone?
Standalone.
TV or books?
Books.
Horror or sci-fi?
Sci-fi.
Martin, living single?
Oh, living single.
Snacking all day, like throughout the day, or you need three meals, sis, and that's it?
Snacking.
Okay, writing in the day, writing at night.
Writing at night.
Who is Chelsea Maria?
Chelsea Maria is a writer who is writing for the millennials who have a whimsical mind about Black love, who loves Black love in all its forms, even in the ugliest, but who wants to see us all come together and celebrate it as best as we can.
That was so good, Chelsea. Thank you so much for like taking the time out, because I know we're still in quarantine, but that don't mean we're not busy. It's Sunday, and I'm just like, thank you. This was a great conversation. I feel like
it was. So many, I had fun.
So many gifts from this. I'm like, girl, I'm happy. I'm happy. I'm happy. I'm happy. So thank you so much.